What's happening?
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Drinking coffee and I'm probably going to stay awake all night.
Do what?
I'm drinking coffee and I'm probably going to stay awake all night.
And everyone will be happy.
It's on.
Fathers, we come here tonight, we just ask that you be with each one of us, that you help us be able to talk plainly but lovingly to each other. We ask for wisdom and help us make the best decisions possible for the citizens of Faulkner County. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic which stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Allison.
Here.
Boyer.
Present.
Brown.
Here.
Higgins.
Here.
Kendrick.
Here.
Knight.
Here.
Wachowski.
Here.
Moss.
Here.
Pearson.
Here.
Pickett.
Here.
Rowland. Shock.
Here.
Strain.
Here. Thank you all for being here. This special call meeting. And I'll appreciate it to discuss the budget. Approval of the journal under tab 1. What is your pleasure?
Make a motion we approve the journal as presented.
Second. Motion has been made and second to approve the journal as presented. Any item on the journal that you see that might need to be addressed or corrected, please look at it. Hearing no comments either way, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Journal is approved. At this time, are there any comments from the public, from the audience on the items that will be discussed tonight at this meeting? Yes, sir.
But I know that you want me to be brief, so I'm going to get right to the point. I've mentioned to you I'm from JP6, but I also want to tell you that with all the friends I have and whatnot, I feel like I represent constituents. I'm glad to be here with the full court tonight. Constituents from pretty much all over Faulkner County. I do find that this has been a rather smooth budget process, but I do want to speak to you about, first of all, the spay and neuter program. I and others are sorry to see that being dropped from this budget, particularly because it's been so successful, and it's going to be probably close to a year before we can expect any help from our upcoming shelter. With regards to people, I would say the safety and our people are the most important in our lives and in our community. And so I'm very happy to see the raises in the sheriff's department, the much needed raises over many years to bring them more equitable, and in some other raises that are in this budget also. The next part of that, though, goes to the COLA cost of living, and we all are actually affected about the same way by the cost of living, and yes, we seniors are even going to get a little cost of living raise this year, too, we've been told. And so I want to say to you, though, I have never heard, and the friends I've talked to, of a cost of living not being the same for everyone involved within whatever community, whatever business it's being done. And so to be equitable, I certainly would like you to look at that situation that is coming to you in this budget, where people who have gotten raises to make their positions more competitive and more equitable, but then are getting a reduced COLA. Again, their cost of living is the same as anyone else that is an employee or a member of our community. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Gregg. Others would like to speak about the budget from the public. Seeing and hearing none, we'll move forward. The new business tonight, the special call meeting for Faulkner County, is the budget process, and I'm going to yield to John Pickett, chairman of the Finance Committee, and his committee that's worked on it. John, you got the first floor.
First, under tab 2 in our booklet, there, the treasurer has provided us with his budget projections, and that's what we've been working with. Also, under tab 3 is the proposed 2022 budget, and I'll at this time move that the ordinance 2145 be put on the table for consideration.
Second.
Motion been made and second. Ordinance 2125. 45, excuse me. And all. Do we need to read this, or do we just need to review it and go forward? I'm Counselor.
We do need to read it, but I would recommend that we do it by title only.
So moved.
Go ahead.
This is proposed ordinance 21-45 being acted by the Coleman Court, Faulkner County, State of Arkansas, an ordinance being titled an appropriation ordinance to establish the annual operating budget for calendar year 2022 and to declare an emergency.
You heard that read and the stipulations underneath it. Floor is now open for discussion.
Your Honor?
Yes, Justice.
I'd like to go ahead and bring up the animal welfare and control issue, which is account 3404. So we in the Budget Finance Committee did make a recommendation that's reflected in the budget that we suspend the spay and neuter program for the 2022 budget. I gave an explanation in the Budget Finance Committee, and I don't mind going over it now as well. You know, the community animal shelter development committee is working on operating plans and budgets and designs currently. And we've been working on that since September so that we can come up with an operational plan that we can present to the court for consideration. One thing to consider is that I'm looking at the revenue so far this year. We have brought in about $141,157.97. Spay and neuter program is just almost half of that, $70,000. And I agree that the spay and neuter program has been successful, but I would have to remind the court that initially we've been focused on the animal welfare and control plan on developing an animal shelter. And right now we're elbow deep in developing the property and the building that we have purchased, and we're going to need every single penny that we can get for that purpose. So that is the reason that I made the recommendation that we suspend the spay and neuter program for next year's budget.
Okay. Judge?
Yes.
Okay, I got the floor, Judge.
Yes.
Yes, sir, thank you. Okay, I guess I definitely share some concerns, like Ms. Gregory said, about suspending this. I initially sponsored this, you know, had a lot of discussion with companions. I think it was a really good program, and I requested some data from that. And I'm just going to read this to the court, because I think whatever we have, and this was part of the discussion when we started this, whatever the long-term plan is, spay and neuter has to be a part of that plan. It has to be a leg of it long-term. So far, this grant total, and there's a spreadsheet here that I've got, but I'm just going to read the highlights that was sent from Marie Betancourt. So far, we've spayed 4,100 critters, were sterilized, and this is verbatim, so I'm quoting her, 4,100 critters were sterilized in this program. That's 4,100 pet owners that are at or below the poverty level and would not have otherwise had access to sterilize their pets. 62% of all these sterilized pets in this program had not been to a vet for a rabies vaccine. 175 of the total females were pregnant. This program has prevented over 1,000 unwanted babies. 2,353 of the SNP-funded sterilizations were spays. If left unsterilized and allowed to breed, these girls would have produced over 12,000 babies in just 1 year. This, to me, clearly shows that this program has been effective. And I think that the key thing to remember right now is this is a program that is working effectively. It's not something we're planning for, trying to get going, hoping it gets going in the future. It is working. And I think suspending that, to me, I think it's going to have a lot of effects. Imagine if we could have started this 10 years ago, where we'd be at reducing the stray population in this county that create future problems. So based on that, I'm going to make a motion that we fund, not the full amount, but we fund $40,000 to the spay and neuter program that gives funding through, probably guessing just based on what we spent this year, roughly about half the year. We can come back and reevaluate it, but I've got a lot of concerns suspending it. I think it's ill-advised. I think it's a program that's working. I do hope the Animal Advisory Committee can come up with a plan, but as we've heard, they're still working on it. We don't have a plan, but this is a program that is working.
Will you repeat your motion?
My motion is to fund $40,000 into, I believe that is Fund 3404, to continue the spay and neuter program.
Second.
Motion has been made and seconded to fund $40,000 in the spay and neuter program. The floor is now open for discussion on this motion. Chris, you got the floor.
Yes, sir, Judge. Just based on that, it's not the full amount that we've done in the past. I think it's a reasonable compromise. We roughly fund close to half of it. We'll see where we're at with the planning and the long-term steps that we're taking to get an animal shelter. But also want to remember the court, the ordinance that is passed, it's not an ordinance for a shelter. It says for, I don't remember verbatim, but it's for animal services, and this is part of that. So something to keep in mind.
You second the motion?
No, sir.
Any other hands? Seeing or hearing none. Madam Secretary, would you call the roll?
Allison?
Yes.
Boyer?
No.
Brown?
Yes.
Higgins?
No.
Kendrick?
Yes.
Knight?
Yes.
Lahowski?
Yes.
Moss?
Yes.
Pearson?
No.
Pickett?
No.
Shock?
No.
Strain?
Yes.
That's 7 votes, Your Honor. That's enough to carry to amend the budget.
7 votes will carry. That's what we got.
Yes, sir.
Okay. So the present time, the budget's been amended to include $40,000 for the spay and neuter program, projected to run probably through June, what I heard. And all, so it is approved. All right. The key to the animal shelter is going to be the volunteer tax. There's no question about it. Right now, I've been told about 8% of the folks in the county do pay into the volunteer tax. And the key to making this thing move like we really want to move is the volunteer tax increase by the public. And hopefully it will be. It's see some evidence of some things going forward. There will be more people participating in volunteer tasks. You know. All right. With that, floor is now open for the discussion on the budget as being presented.
Judge?
Yes.
Thank you, sir. Of the county's top problems, one of our biggest, as we've heard from many employees and department heads, is employee pay. Some positions are grossly underpaid in this county, while others are possibly on target with where they should be, but suffer annually from those cost of living raises. I want to address this. I would propose a three-point plan to kind of look at these two things. One is incorporate the raise requests that we passed from the committees for the full court into this year's budget. I believe that's already been done. Is that correct, Justice Higgins or Justice Pickett, the raises that are in this budget currently? Like the sheriff's office raise and the chief deputies.
Yes, the raises are included in the budget along with the COLA.
Okay, thank you, sir. So that was point number one, is incorporate the raise requests. Make sure they're in the budget for this year that we all passed when we heard them in committees in full court this year. Number two, incorporate a cost of living raise into this year's budget at a rate of 4%. Number three, with the extra 8% of money that we're saving by cutting the 12% COLA, allow department heads to adjust the salaries as they see fit in 2023 and present those adjustments to the court next year during our meetings. Doing these three things will provide a cost of living adjustment in line with what other counties in the state of Arkansas have approved, and allow department heads the opportunity to increase the salaries of positions where they should be. Like I said, there's a lot of positions that are underpaid immensely. There are other positions that are where they should be in this county. A 12% across the board raise does not fix pay disparities. All it does is raise the floor from which we operate. We all want our county employees to get paid a deserving wage. This plan gives department heads more power to put the raises where it needs to go instead of just applying them across the board. So I will motion to cut the cost of living raise reflected in the budget to 4%. And to adjust the previous raise request to the amounts approved in committee or full court.
Second.
Motion been made to amend the budget to include a 4% across the board COLA raise this time. All right, the floor is now open for discussion upon the amendment.
Judge, can I ask a question?
Please.
Yes, sir. Now, I want to make sure, are you saying that you want the 4% on top? It is on, sorry. It's not working. Is that better?
How about that? You got to get in it.
You got to get in. Is that better?
Get in it.
Okay. Now, is this 4% COLA on top of all of the previously requested raises from all the departments, including those that were approved by the personnel committee but never made their way to the full court? Because the way I understood that in the budget, proposed budget, those were absorbed in the 12%. If the 12% COLA was more than that raise, they were not incorporated into the budget. I just want to clarify that those raise requests, all of them, from the resolutions in the personnel committee and the previously approved ordinances that came to this court, are all in there before the 4% COLA.
Yes, it is my intention with this motion for, I can't remember all the folks that we approved raises for, but I know there was the chief deputies and Mrs. Woolley's packet that was approved out of personnel. My intention are for those to be in the budget and then a 4% to go on top of those, for those positions to all be where they need to be. That's my intention with this motion.
I support this motion. I think that those raise requests, I think this court has shown its willingness to raise employee pay when it's demonstrated by the elected officials that such raises are required to get the employees back up to where they should be in line with other class six counties. I think we've done that several times, and that we've shown a willingness to do that. That I agree with you, Tyler, that the pay disparities among the different positions are not solved by 12% across the board COLA. And I'm thinking again of the jailers, that I want to see those guys brought up more to where in line, and all of the sheriff's department employees, and all of the employees especially. But I think that another thing that worries me is that we, this court, went through and passed a resolution that outlined a process for raises, and that this 12% COLA is basically more than a COLA. That is, it is actually a raise, and it's bypassed that process. And the elected officials who jumped through the hoops and went through the torment, I'll just call it torment because I think that's what it looked like to me, and those who went through that are unfairly just kind of swept along in this, and their efforts are not rewarded, I don't think, probably in the way it's 12% COLA would go.
Who's that?
Well, I'll respond to just part of Justice Allison's comments. I appreciate the elected officials that went through the effort, you know, to get their raises for the people, but I probably would need to remind you that when they're doing that, they're amending the budget. So it's actually the budget that sets that overall, and then they come through the year. The process that Justice Lahowski is talking about, I absolutely agree with that, but the actual process is the budget. And then when they come through with personnel and everything, they're amending the budget. So am I making myself clear to you that there's not anything abnormal that was done in that process?
Yes, sir. I just remember the frustration on the part of those ladies who brought those here over several months. And I don't want them to feel like their efforts were in vain or without purpose.
Right. So, Your Honor, I've got a question for the sheriff. If I can. So, Sheriff, when we were in the Budget and Finance Committee, we talked about that you had initially proposed your budget with some money in there specifically for some key areas like jailers. Yes, and then when the 12% COLA was discussed, I believe we talked about removing that money. Did you remove that from the budget, or did you leave that in your budget?
Ms. Woolley, I think it was the greater of the two. So if the raise request was an 18% request, then it was an 18% raise. If it was a 2% request, then it went up to a 12% raise.
Okay.
So it was the greater of the two, not just for the sheriff's budget, but I think that would also be true for the assessor's budget as well.
So the same would apply whatever number we put on this, whether it's 4 or whatever.
It can. I mean, yes. I think that's up to the court to decide.
I would default back to whatever was passed out of personnel committee, because that's what personnel was presented with. That's what personnel voted to approve. So before all the 12% conversation raised, I think in my mind I would default back to what was presented in that personnel committee, apply the 4% on top of that. If there need to be adjustments further, do that next year.
So as I understand it, just a housekeeping, that when the sheriff presented his budget, mm-hmm. he presented some of the key raises to be approved in the budget. And then when we talked about the COLA, that's when we, as our counselor just said, there were some adjustments made on that. So if we take the 12% out and go to a lower number, mm-hmm. my concern is I want to make sure that the sheriff has made appropriate adjustment so that we can take care of those in the budget.
Yeah.
Specifically the jailers. You know what I'm saying?
Yes. Yes.
I just want to make sure that we haven't asked him to take some numbers out and then we leave
them. Then we left them out.
And left them out.
Yeah, I agree with that.
That's right.
I agree with that. That's why I was just kind of thinking defaulting back to what was presented to personnel, because to me that was their, this is what we want. You know, this is what we really think we need. It may not be exactly what they want, but they're like, this is what we think we need right now. And then just applying our 4% on top of that.
If I may add, when we presented to personnel in October, we provided our adjusted pay request is what we did. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't off of the exact averages of what the salary survey showed. It was an adjusted request. And then we... that is what was approved by personnel, and then the budget and finance. still have our original package of what we turned in October, and all it is figures being adjusted with Sarah. I know she can help us with that to change it to hold at our original request, plus adding 4%. And that's just a matter of adjusting the spreadsheet.
Us too, same thing.
Thank you.
I agree with that. I think that's awesome. I think that's what you're doing.
And my intention behind this is to see, like, I would love in the meetings coming in 2023 to see every department head come before us and put the positions in front of us that need to be adjusted, you know, because we want our employees to be paid what they deserve to be paid. We actually have an opportunity to do that. How many, you know, Justice Higgins, you've served on this court a long time. We don't ever really get the opportunity to pay our folks what they need to be paid. I just feel like with a 12% across the board that there's some areas that it may be unnecessarily spent where we could be, you know, making things right. I just don't feel like the 12% solves the problem. I want to do the deeper work to try to actually solve the problem that we're facing.
Judge, can I go from there? I'm sorry.
You were next.
I'm going to just...
Okay, I was just going to remind everybody too that in the discussions that I heard by the elected officials, it was often said that they weren't really bringing these up maybe all the way to where they wanted them. They were bringing them up to where they thought they could get, and that it was just really at the bottom edge of the range they'd really like to see them. So I think that that's another reason we need to file those raises before the COLA and then add the COLA on top of that.
I'll just make a couple of points of observation. In the past, in my experience on the court, we have usually done raise requests around the same time and then sometimes been able to debate a cost of living adjustment. And in the years that I've noticed, you know, it's been standard practice to do either the cost of living adjustment or the raise request, whichever was the greater two of the amounts. So to me, it breaks the mold a little bit to say, okay, you'll get your raise request plus a cost of living adjustment. And that, to me, also seems to apply an unequal cost of living adjustment across the board. Another point I'd like to make is that I think there's a lot of conversation and confusion, it seems, you know, that the cost of living adjustment is somehow being put in place to give people raises, to reduce pay disparities because some positions aren't paid enough. But to me, from my understanding, is a 12% cost of living adjustment was proposed because there were several years where we didn't have a cost of living adjustment, and that totaled up to, I think, 8.9%, and then an additional 3.1% was added to anticipate what this year's rises in expenses will take. So I don't know where 4% comes from, if that's just an arbitrary number, if that's grounded in some type of, you know, data or information or what. But to me, I have a hard time saying that, you know, I have a hard time saying and agreeing to the thought that county employees today should be paid less than they were 10 years ago for any employee. Doesn't matter their department, doesn't matter if, you know, their department heads have put in raise requests. I think it was just mentioned that many departments have not come before the court, and the ones that did ask for the lower amounts because that's all they thought they could get, because in years past, we haven't had the money to give big raises. We haven't had the political will to give big raises. So a lot of departments, I can't speak for certainty, but I'm willing to bet that a lot of departments didn't come before the personnel committee because they probably thought that I didn't get it last year, so why would I get it this year? I didn't get it the last 3 years, so why would I get it this year? So in my mind, this is a cost of living adjustment that makes up for the years that we weren't able to give cost of living adjustments, plus anticipates the rise in cost of living for this coming year. I would urge you to change your 4% to 8.9% because that will cover this year and it will cover all the years past to bring all employees back to basically their purchasing power of 10 years ago. You know, there's already $1 million left over in anticipated projected revenue with a 12% raise. So we can cover it, and you know, my main point is, why 4%? Why not 8.9%? And let's make sure that no employee is paid less today than they were 10 years ago. I wrote down some of the positions that we approved a 12% cost of living adjustment for. That didn't come before the personnel committee and ask for raises for their entire department necessarily. These are heavy equipment operators, truck drivers, safety compliance coordinators, mechanics, investigators, case coordinators, deputy collectors, appraisers, GIS technicians, victim service clerks, maintenance coordinator, juvenile court officer, legal clerks. These are some of the positions that you're basically saying, by only offering a 4% cost of living adjustment, when we can make up years past, that they don't deserve to make what they made 10 years ago. So I would just urge you to reconsider your motion and to change that 4% to 8.9%. Thank you.
Don?
Yes, sir. In response to that, I spent the weekend going back in budgets to 2014 and pulling line items from every department that had just a salaries line item. This doesn't include all the salaries matches, not the total cost of what changed. But I look at, you mentioned heavy equipment operators, so I pull up the county road department. I'm looking at right here. That in 2014, and I went back to 2014 because they changed the way they reported the budgets after that. But there was a $1.591 million line item for salaries in the county road department. In 2020, that was $1.942. That's a significant increase. Overall, I totaled all of the salaries in 2014 and all of the salaries in the 2020 budget, and it increased by 20%. So that incorporates added positions, but it also incorporates raises along the way in a lot of departments that Mr. Pickett did include a line in his documentation in support of the 12%, that some positions had raises, but we could not necessarily delineate those from everything. So to say that every county employee that we're talking about here has a decline in purchasing power, I believe isn't accurate, because we can't really say which of those county employees without either, I think, probably a forensic accounting, because it's going to be so, it takes so much time to delve into. But there are a lot of raises, and this county's budget for salaries, that salary line item in these departments, has increased by over 20% since just 2014. I didn't go all the way back to 2011.
John, I got a question. Repeat those figures again, because I'm trying to get you know.
Okay. I'm looking at the 2014 line item for just salaries, and that was $1,591,397.52. Okay. In 2020, that was $1,942,094.75. Okay. That's the county road. I can give you the
Justice Pearson, one of the numbers you mentioned was 8%. And from what I recall, and please correct me if I'm recalling wrongly, we talk about health insurance costs. Did those go up 8%? They haven't gone up at all?
This year, is Mr. Anderson here?
Yes, sir.
That's
2 years. We've had two good years in a row, and there's no change from last year.
Okay, no change. Okay. I thought I heard somewhere we'd seen health insurance costs go up 8%, or maybe that's a projection. I don't remember what exactly that number was.
I think Scott may have said that, and I'm not sure what he was referring to.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
At one of the budget meetings, I distinctly remember it being said, I can't remember who said it, but they said on average, health insurance increases, costs increase by 8% per year.
But not for our county.
At no pass on to the employee.
Not
so.
For our county.
No, I think it was in reference to the county's cost, is what I heard at the budget committee meeting.
Okay. And I will just say to say a dirty word and to introduce for a second politics into this is that I ran as a conservative, and so I act more conservatively with my family's budget, and I plan to act more conservatively with our taxpayer dollars that we see here in the county. So for me, 4%, listening to some of the other increases through other counties in the state of Arkansas, now not all counties are the same, definitely, but listening to some of the other increases, they're 3.5%. So 4% was kind of a compromise on my end, but I want to see us put back more money so that we can not only adjust these positions that need to be adjusted, but to where we possibly have money in the bank to give another COLA next year and the year after that and the year after that, instead of let's take this large influx increase in revenue that we've seen and let's use it to stabilize pay for our county employees so that every year we can try to give a 3 or 4% raise, something that's in line with normalcy instead of the zeros or the 1% that we're known for.
Your Honor, and I'll address Justice Lehowski, and I like the 3-point plan. What I'd like to just put on the table is instead of a 4%, you know, and let me back up. And I think there's some legitimacy to the concern about purchasing power and the fact, and I'm sensitive to the fact that I was here when we went to 5 years and offered no raises. And I think the first raise we offered after that was 1%. So that's, you know, that's...
That's hard.
Yeah. It is. It's tough to tell our employees nothing. But, you know, I'd like to put out on the table 5.9%. And the reason I put that number out is that's what the Social Security increase is for this year based on the economy. And also, I believe that's the same amount that the military is getting this year. And so... You know, I think the 5.9 is more in line of what others are proposing. So I'd like to put that out on the table.
And we got it on the table just for discussion.
Well, we have a motion for 4%, so I'd like to discuss it before we make a motion to actually amend that motion.
It is true that Social Security is supposed to get, I think, 5.9%. However, they have an increase in their Medicare that's supposed to completely pretty much wipe out their COLA raise. So I think that's something we need to keep in mind, that our people on Social Security in Faulkner County are in effect getting a zero increase. And so I don't really think that's a fair comparison for the numbers we're looking at. Thank you.
Judge?
Yes.
I do agree. I came to one of the budget committees after the 12% number was thrown around. I spoke against that. I said it wasn't a conservative number. You know, I talked to people in government. I called other counties. I talked to people in the county. And when I said 12%, every single one of them gritted their teeth. Nobody in the private sector is going to get a 12% raise. The majority of the private sector is not going to get a 5.9 or a 6% raise. If you're lucky, you'll probably get a 3% raise, maybe 4. I do think the 4%, I think it's a better number. I will support that number. I won't support the 5.9. I won't support the 12. But I think that's what we've got to keep in mind, too, is that I know myself, I've got to go back and look at the taxpayers, and if I tell them I approved a 6% raise or a 12% raise, and they didn't get that, and they get a lot less or nothing, that's a hard pill to swallow. So I do like the plan. I like being able to give yearly COLA raise. And I think something that we've done and we need to continue to do is try to bring these pay disparities up, especially I know the jailers were mentioned. I know there's some in the sheriff's office. Other than that, there's some in other county offices that need to be addressed too. I think this number definitely allows to do that. And another one that we need to keep in mind, probably for personnel, is looking at the raises for our elected officials. We bumped up the chief deputies. Now, some of the chief deputies are getting closer to the elected officials. That's something we need to keep in mind to do as well. So just speaking on that.
Yes, sir. Justice Higgins, just looked up the military increase for active military. And reserves is 2.7% this year. The military retirees are getting 5.9%.
Okay. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
discussion.
Judge, I support Tyler's motion. I think this is a far better way to approach the situation. I just wanted to say that I went through page by page the information that the Sheriff's Office had presented to Budget and Finance, or excuse me, Personnel Committee, about 830 pages worth. And they were almost to a T consistently, even the raises they requested were lower than the average for our comparative counties. If anything, I think that some of their pay requests were far more conservative. I certainly think this is a good way to do it. However, I would suggest that we approve what they requested, but I, in my opinion, I think the bailiffs, the detention officers, the entry-level deputies still even need a little bit more bump than that. They're still making under the average of our surrounding counties. And we're fixated on percentages, but in my opinion, each position is worth what the market will bear, what the market will pay. And I think that the best example of what the market will pay is looking at what these other counties are doing. And I don't know, Judge or Councilor Murphy, if I could amend Tyler's motion, but I would suggest that we amend it to address even those three or four positions to bring them up to the average as shown in the materials that were presented by the Sheriff's Office to the Personnel Committee.
At this point, that motion needs to just hold on to that motion until this passes, and then you can make a motion after we deal with this. Or Justice Lahosky can amend his motion if he wants.
All right, thank you.
I'm going to do without that amendment right now in my motion, just because I'm trying to keep, with my motion, I tried to keep things as simple as possible. Because, like I said, in this, I'd still love to see Angie, all the department heads, come back next year at a meeting and adjust, even still make those tweaks to these positions. Because it'd be nice to be able to see them all and then to be able to step back and see them all in a bigger picture to see kind of what we're looking at and what kind of impact that'll have on our budget for next year.
So, Justice Lahosky, based on this, if we move this forward, one thing I'd like to bring up, I think there is a sense of urgency with the Sheriff's Office. I spoke with the Sheriff yesterday, and I believe he's down 20 jailers.
We think by Friday we'll be down 20. We're at 18 down right now.
Okay, and I've had some discussions with him. He's looking for some creative ways to recruit and everything. It really doesn't have an impact on your motion, but I think if we go down this road, we need to give some assurances to the Sheriff's Office that when we leave, it's like, okay, Sheriff, we'll deal with it next year. I think it's more like, okay, Sheriff, let's start talking in January about what we can do to help you to resolve your issue as soon as possible. I think it's a critical issue. We need to get on that just as soon as we can.
And I'm fine with that. I'm not chair of Budget and Finance or Personnel, so I have no control over those come up in the meetings.
That's why I wanted to put that on the table. Again, I realize it's a little outside of your motion, but if we're going to make this motion and get through the budget process, at the same time, we need to send some messages to the Sheriff's Office that we are ready to help them.
You said creative ways. I heard something even another county doing sign-on bonuses for positions like that. Yeah. So that may be an option that we could look at.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think that's something that's on the table that he's looking at as well.
Awesome.
Not to speak for Sheriff Ross, but...
that's great.
Can I just jump into this? I think this is a good idea. I mean, I think the court's shown that we're willing to address these things and do that. And I guess to Justice Brown, the motion he was discussing, because I know... I don't want to quote Angie, but I remember several meetings back, we were talking about making adjustments to their numbers and all that, and they were trying to do it in a controlled way, because if we adjust some numbers here, it could blow up the other numbers there. So I think it would be better just to stick with the motion like Justice Lahosky said, and then let them come back and we adjust those numbers instead of us trying to do it, because we don't want to adjust them here and then it throw off things in the department that we the unintended consequences of that.
I agree with Justice Lahosky and Higgins. I think this is the cleanest way to do it.
Yeah, I like the approach. I don't feel great about the 4%, but I do agree that it is the cleanest way to approach it as well.
Judge?
Yes.
I think that doing it this way, also addressing Justice Pearson's comments a few moments ago, it sounds like in the past, maybe elected officials felt like there wasn't any point coming to this court. I think that doing it this way may show them that this court prioritizes these kinds of raise requests, and we want to see, like Justice Soski said, the employees paid in line with what their job positions are worth, and that should encourage elected officials next year and in years beyond to come before the court and bring those raise requests. I think this is a great way to do this.
We'll miss you, buddy.
Judge, let me try to disentangle what we're talking about. There are two things going on at the same time. One is a COLA, and one is the salary adjustment resulting from the salary survey. Now, the COLA adjustment has two parts. Part one is the 8% that our employees have lost in purchasing power over 10 years. The 4% is what they're going to be losing next year. Now, the salary survey has been completed for the sheriff's office, and that's about half the employees in the county are in the sheriff's office. So there's another half of the employees that are going to get no salary survey adjustment, but they will get some COLA adjustment. So my original proposal was a 12%. Across the board COLA, plus adjustments in this sheriff's office. Now what's on the table is only a 4% adjustment for both the 10-year 8% loss plus the 4% for next year. And then do a comprehensive salary survey for the other half of our employees that we can address later in the spring. So that's the way that those are the essential elements of the process that we're talking about right now. So, one is to reduce the 12% to 4%. And we're reducing the 8 and the 4 plus the 4% to 12 down to 4 and pitching the other 8% and let the department heads do it. Well, the department heads will have to do it. So there's been an alternative of let's give across the board of a 5.9%. Instead of the 4%. Well, that's about 6%, and that's half of the 12%. So that's where we are.
Another discussion on the COLA percent, that's where we're at right now. The motion on the floor is the 4%.
The 4% COLA on top of the previously approved raise request, right, Judge?
No,
I believe Justice Lahosky said he wanted the original raise request incorporated in the budget, then the 4% COLA applied on top of that.
The salary adjustments that were made previously in the year and the 4% on top of that. Just like
you're leaving out all the other employees.
They're getting 4%. They're getting 4%. They're getting 4%, and I want them to come back next year and do the salary adjustments.
And I want to clarify, and some of those were passed in ordinances and already incorporated in the budget. What's not incorporated in the budget are the salary increases that went through the resolution process in the personnel committee. But those you want in here also. Those are the ones from the Sheriff's Department, the Assessor's Office, I believe.
Justice Allison, I think you're incorrect there. those are a part of the budget. Those increases that the sheriff requested that were in excess of 12% are included in the budget. Those any raise requests from any department, those in excess of 12% are included in the current budget.
Okay, but I'm thinking of the ones that weren't the 12%. We're going to make sure in a plot that did not exceed the 12%. We are going to include those, then apply the 4% COLA.
Restate your motion so we're crystal clear.
Oh, gosh. All right. I'm just going to read off what I got written.
And that way Phil can restate it so we know we're really clear.
I motion to adjust the cost of living raise reflected in the budget to 4% and to make sure the previous raise requests, as approved in committee or full court, are in there as well.
Those raise requests are in there before the 4% is applied.
Yes.
Phil, do you got it?
I've got it.
Okay.
So we're still open for discussion.
Mr. Lukowski, don't you understand what your motion does about leaving out half of the other of our employees?
It
doesn't. Just a simple arithmetic.
I understand that the other half of the employees in the county have not had a salary adjustment. Like, they're going to get 4%, and we want to do a salary adjustment for them if it's needed, if their salary adjustment is needed next year. Some positions may not need a salary adjustment. That's what I'm saying, is that some positions may be accurately paid compared to the other counties.
They would have had the same opportunity to come.
Okay, let me go through this one more time.
Do it one more time, because we can't understand what you're saying.
If you give the sheriff their salary increases and then add 4%, let's assume that that's done. Now let's look at the other half of our county employees. They're going to get 4%.
They're all going to get 4%.
You know, hang on. Point of order. Yeah, I mean, point of order, just a second. Look, folks, the JPs deserve opportunity to discuss this without the interruption. I mean, with all due respect, this is the only opportunity that we have to talk. And we've really gone through a series of meetings where we've had a lot of interruptions, and we've tolerated that. And I appreciate the feedback from folks, and we try to give those. And I get a lot of calls. But honestly, when we're in our meetings, we really deserve the opportunity for us to be able to deliberate among ourselves. That's what you pay us to do. So I forgive me for my frustration, but I think we need to get down to taking care of business again. I'm sorry.
John, you have the floor. Go ahead. Thanks, Randy.
Now let's look at the other half of our employees. They're going to receive 4%. And then some of them will receive a salary adjustment. But the 4% occurs before the other personnel have a salary adjustment. But the sheriff's office are getting a salary adjustment plus 4%.
We haven't done that in the past that I've been on the court. We've never done raises plus the cost of living adjustment. To me, this is setting a different precedent. And I'm concerned about that because, to me, it is unfair in my perspective. You're saying to some departments and some positions that you don't deserve the same as some other departments do. Because when you do it, maybe I'm misunderstanding this here, but when you do a salary survey and a raise request, you know, you're looking at a snapshot in time and you're asking to be brought up to that snapshot in time. And when you do a cost of living adjustment, you're looking at the past up to that snapshot in time. And so if you do both at the same time, I mean, you're giving them both. You're giving them your raise request plus the cost of living extra, you know, not just, you know, the cost of living. So I just think it seems very unfair to all the other departments, that one department or the ones that happen to do this raise request process are going to get even more than everybody else. So I'm concerned with that.
So, Your Honor, if I can reply, so Justice Pearson, just at a point of debate, I'm kind of okay with that. And the reason I say that with is we've talked over and over about we need to help the sheriff's office, and we've talked about it for the last several years, and if I understand what we're doing here, I think you're correct. We're giving them a raise and then a COLA on top of that. I'm not talking about being unfair to other employees, because we've discussed about coming back and addressing that, but right now the critical issue is with the sheriff's office. And when the sheriff starts talking about 20 jailers being down, and a big part of that is due to compensation, my question is, Sheriff, how long can you keep the jail open with 20 officers down? If that's not a public safety issue, I don't know what is. And so I'm not disparaging any of our other valued county employees. I'm saying we've got a critical issue in the sheriff's office.
But we were giving them what they asked for already, and now we're just arbitrarily, which I know there's been talk about not arbitrarily throwing money out there, now we're just arbitrarily saying, well, here's an extra 4% for every single position also, on top of what you asked for.
I agree, but I doubt we're even where we need to be even with that.
I don't know if that's true or not. And I also don't know if there aren't as equally dire situations in other departments, just because they're not here every month and we're not hearing from them. I would not be surprised if there are many other departments in this county that have many positions that they feel that their supervisors and the department's head feel like they're grossly underpaid, because we haven't given cost of living adjustments for many years. People haven't come before the Quorum Court to ask for raise increases for many years because they haven't been approved. So I'm just concerned that we're playing favorites here and that we're arbitrarily throwing money out. Some people are getting, you know, more than others, and we're breaking precedent from everything that we've done in years past. I appreciate the three-point plan. I think that we definitely, you know, need a strategy to solve this that we can come to a majority vote on to get this passed. But, you know, 4% is just an arbitrary number. It doesn't even make up for the cost of living and changes in purchasing power for this year alone. I don't see any reason why any employee in this county should make less today than they did 10 years ago.
So I just want to jump here. I guess one point to keep in mind is that this plan gives raises to those that followed the procedure and came and asked. They did it. Some of them, we made them jump through a lot of hoops. I mean, it was hard, and they still did it. Chrissy, you had to jump through a lot. So that's something to keep in mind. If they didn't come ask, we can't help that. But the ones that did and worked through this new process that was interesting, to say the least, and got it done, we did that. And just to piggyback on Justice Higgins' points, one of the four shalls that we have to fund is the jail. That's a big deal, and we've got issues in there, and we need to do that. And I appreciate the wanting to go back a decade in the past and correct things, but A, the majority of us weren't on the court at that point, and once lightning strikes, you can't go back and catch it in a bottle. We can't go fix everything that happened in the past, but what we can do is come up with a plan, and it might not be the greatest plan, but it's a good plan that's workable, that allows for raises, and this allows us to do that and try to correct that going forward, so I think we need to keep that in mind as well.
I'd like to remind everybody also that the jailers that we're talking about currently make $13.01 an hour before the raise request that Ms. Angie and the sheriff put forth. That's appalling to me. So that raise that they're getting was just to bring them up to somewhat something, hopefully more respectable than that. That wasn't to account for their decrease in purchasing power. These guys are getting spit on, thrown crap at. They're getting fights. They're having to be wrestled. They're dealing with some of the most difficult situations that you people can imagine that most of us on here would not consider putting ourselves in for $25 an hour, much less $13.01 an hour. And so this is, to me, it's not unfair when we say we're trying to get these guys up to something that can attract the sheriff, some folks in there to work in a jail.
Your Honor.
Yes.
May I ask, Ms. Woolley, how many detention positions do you guys have?
72.
Just roughly.
Detention officers are 72.
Okay, but that doesn't count corporals and sergeants and... So let's say 90, roughly, and you're down 18. Okay. I'm real simple-minded, so I got to write this down. 90 employees for detention that we have to have to deal with the people who can't follow rules of society. So chances are if you put them in one enclosed area, they're probably not going to be real keen on following the rules in there. I think that would be... Good argument. So,
what did you say the percentage was? 18?
It's better than 20.
Okay. So, let's just say 20 for easy. Judge, are we down any position at the Roach up?
Yes.
How many?
I don't know for sure. I'll give you a figure, but it's down about 7.
Okay.
Total allowed, but we had, last time we put out an application for a job.
But not to believe.
Warden portion of plot.
Yes, sir. While we need those employees and we appreciate those employees, if they're down 20%, it's not a life or death situation. It really is an inconvenience, for sure, but it's not a life or death situation. We're talking about being 18 positions down, 20% of your manpower. So any argument to not help these guys out with salaries is unresponsible, in my opinion, and I will be supporting this.
Thank you. Judge, if I may.
Yes.
And I think, just to kind of dovetail off Justice Shock's comment, those hours have to be filled no matter what. And so, since they're going to be filled, they're going to be filled at overtime rates, which is a 50% increase on one. So we're even snowballing even further.
Which increases your attrition rate.
Exactly.
Even more.
And I would say this, anyone who hasn't been in a detention center I guarantee you they would welcome you guys to walk around. These guys walk into a cell with 20 or 30 people. I mean, a lot of times these guys are fighting and you have one person in there or two people. This is a very thankless job. And we need to do what we can do to help these guys out. Because in the big scheme of things, public safety priority number one is public safety. Period.
Judge, may I say something? Yeah, the conversation over, I guess we could call it a priority for the appropriations from the Quorum Court is actually statutorial. The courts are at the top of the list, next law enforcement services. And the custody of persons accused of convicted crimes. So we're mixing apples and oranges when we're trying to compare our priorities here. Statutorily, the courts are first, and our law enforcement is second. I do agree with Justice Lehowski on the premise of the 3 points and the program and implementing that. I am in disagreement with the percentage amount. I would be more inclined to agree with the Justice Higgins, 5.9% or even more, if we can afford it. Does anybody know if we can afford it? Are we going to accumulate a large amount of money? Are we going to be hoarding money to cut our cost of living? I think we are. We're going to come back with a whole bucket full of money next year for 2023. That's not the purpose of the Quorum Court and the appropriations. We're not supposed to hoard the money. We're supposed to appropriate the funds for the department heads as they tell us that they need it. I'm in favor of a 5.9% at a minimum increase. Thank you, Judge.
Well, we're still open for discussion.
Judge, I guess just a reminder for some of the big issues that we're facing that we might not need to hoard money but put some back. We've still got a COPS grant that's lingering out there that's roughly $600,000 or so that we're going to have to fund the full time for when that COPS grant is done. Still lingering out there, and it's an expense that'll have to be covered. One of the top priorities, and I think we all know this, is replacing Unit 1 jail, our maximum security facility. We're trying to save money to do that. We've been putting back $1 million a year. if we can save more money and save it for that, the quicker we can replace it. It solves a lot of issues in this county. So while I am for paying and bringing it up, we do have to remember there are some immediate expenses that are coming up and some more long-term that we have to try to meet without raising taxes, or at least that's what I'd like to see.
I'll just kind of say my closing part on this. Justice Pearson, I really do understand your concerns with the way we're going about this. You know, it's sticky and it's icky and it's not the best it could be. I just feel like somewhere we need to kind of have a fresh start. And because, like I said, I would be proposing this if it was Judge Baker coming with road shop raises and Miss Woolley didn't show up. You know, it doesn't matter to me who came for raises earlier this year. It really doesn't matter to me. We've got to draw a line somewhere. We've got to draw the line, and you're right. The jailers are going to get their raise, and then they're going to get 4% on top of that. The assessor's office is going to get their raise and the 4% on top of that. But I'd be doing that for any department that had come earlier this year and asked for those raises, and those raises had been given. I just feel like we've got to draw the line, and then next year we're going to adjust the salaries for those that need to be adjusted, and then hopefully there's money in the budget still for another regular raise based off of things that are going on in our economy at that time, you know, to give the raises that we need to give next year. And that's why this is a conservative number, because I think we're trying to pass a conservative budget to try to not only take care of our pay issues, but to take care of a lot of the other issues that we still have to deal with within the county that we haven't had money to deal with in the past. Thank you, Judge.
Silence is called for the question. Read the motion. Counselor, tell us, repeat the motion.
Motion on the table is to incorporate the raise requests that have been presented to personnel. So that would include all raise requests given previously this year to the chief deputies, to the dispatch, all the raise requests presented by the assessor's office, and all the raise requests presented by the sheriff's office. In addition to that incorporation, a 4% increase in salary would be given to all county employees. I assume that's full and part-time. All county employees, full and part-time. Excuse me, just full-time. Full-time employees.
So for a layman, the vote is on a 4% COLA increase for every county employee.
And incorporation of the pay raise request. Judge Baker. One, all pay raise requests are approved.
Yes.
Second, a 4% increase is given to all employees after that pay raise is approved.
Okay, I thought that's what I said. 4% total increase with all of them. Okay, that's what we're moving. Secretary, will you call the roll?
Allison?
Yes.
Boyer?
No.
Brown?
Yes.
Higgins?
Yes.
Kindrick?
Yes.
Knight?
Yes.
Lahowski?
Yes.
Moss?
Yes.
Pearson?
No.
Pickett?
No.
Shock?
Yes.
Strain?
Yes.
Motion does pass. Moving now back to the amended budget. Floor is open for discussion. Any item you want to discuss, or overall budget, whatever. To answer a question a little bit ago, Mr. Boyer raised, the county does have the money.
We do?
We have the money.
We have a lot more, won't we?
We have the money. This budget was based on 12% across the board, but we have the money for a place.
Thank you, Jeff.
The money is there to for the program.
Judge, I guess I have a question. I guess it's regarding the American Rescue Plan, the 3406. We've got it roughly looks like $164,000. I'd just like a, I guess, an explanation of what we're budgeting that for.
For the finance committee or somebody that's got...
I believe Ms. Woolley can answer that for us. Is that the mental health aspect?
That's just the mental health contract for 2022 for the detention facility. We had turnkey separate the regular health care from the mental health care contract, and the American Rescue Plan has a specific language within it that allows for mental health services for at-need population, and our detention facility population is indefinitely that.
Okay. Do you anticipate this being a regular, reoccurring, yearly expense?
We would love to provide those services as a contract for our detention facility detainees on an annual basis, but it is not a requirement that we do so by jail standards, and we are just wanting to continue those services because we did see the opportunity to do so when we signed on with Turnkey, and we have seen the benefits of that for our detainees as well, and so we wanted to continue that.
Okay. Right. I guess just looking at that, and that was one of the things when I came to the budget meeting and spoke, it does concern me that if we're anticipating, and I do agree it's beneficial, I think it's a good thing for the jail and the sheriff's department. I guess I do have concerns that we are funding what we hope will be a regular, reoccurring, normal budget expense out of temporary money.
Just Kendrick, if I can, during the budget finance committee discussions, if I remember correctly, we talked about that very thing, and it was the point of while we have ARP money available to support this, we can, and when it comes to a point where we may have to discuss bringing it out of County General, we can have that discussion, and that's why they broke that out, is so if need be, we can cease those services at any given point.
Right. I just think it's a bad practice. I think there's probably a lot of things in this county that we need or that we would and or like to have that could be funded out of that, but I think if we're not careful, we're going to get a large amount of expenses coming out of that temporary Fed money that's funny fake money. And then when it comes time, we're not going to be able to absorb that in our standard budgets. I would really like for the Sheriff's Department to go back and take a look at that, because honestly, I don't know whether I can vote to approve that, because I think it's a bad practice moving forward to start using that for regular reoccurring budget expenses. So
are you making a motion to take it from the budget?
No, I'm not making a motion to do that. I would like the sheriff's office to do that, because like I said, that's something, I don't know, it gives me heartburn thinking about it, because I think that's a bad budgeting practice.
If I may add, I mean, the reason we suggested and built a budget for it is because the American Rescue Plan is so open-ended at this point, and I know that the Quorum Court has been approached for multiple different reasons for American Rescue Plan money at this point. I know that the county judge has different plans that have been presented to him as well for the American Rescue Plan money. But in the language right now, and I don't think that our county attorney would foresee it being taken out for any reason, it is very specific to state mental health services for our population that is in need. And yes, we understand that it could be a reoccurring cost. It is not a mandated cost that we occur for our detainees as mental health or health care is, but we do want to take the opportunity while we have it to get the funding from American Rescue Plan, because it is designed for that purpose, very specifically for that purpose. And hopefully when American Rescue Plan ceases to exist, we will have the funding available, whether it be in criminal justice or when one of our other special revenue funds, or even in County General. If County General can progress in their revenue as much as we have in the last couple of years, and the sales tax has as well, I anticipate and hope that it will keep doing so, and we will be able to take on that cost at that time.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I wasn't questioning whether we could use it for that. I understand that. I, like I said, I think it's a bad budget practice. I can't remember what the 6 deputies for the COPS grant roughly. I think it was like $480,000, $500,000 or so. So we've got $500,000 that we're still going to come up with. Probably what is it, around a year now? We're looking at $150,000 for that. Those things start add up, and if we can't absorb them. Like I said, I'm not going to make the motion. I just think it's a bad practice. I don't know if there's anywhere else that the sheriff's office can absorb that into their budget, but I don't know whether I can vote to support it, just saying that.
Judge?
Yeah.
May I ask Ms. Woolley a question?
Sure.
Mrs. Woolley, what was the other portion of turnkey health contract? Do you remember?
For the health service?
Yeah, it can just be a round number.
I think it was $629,000.
Okay.
And
is that, which fund is that coming out of in this budget currently?
It is separated between three funding sources.
Three funding sources,
yes.
Okay.
Criminal justice, I call it jail fines, but that's not what it's called. It's county detention facility.
A jail fund?
Yes.
Some sort?
Then,
yeah.
County general.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Judge, could I ask Mr. Woolley a question also?
Sure.
Ms. Woolley? In the future, if we don't have the funding for the mental health aspect, can we drop that part of the plan at any given year?
Yes, so we did sign an annual contract, and we had them separated, but it did not change the cost. They originally presented us the proposals that they took to mind, and we asked them to separate them and asked them if it would change the cost, and it did not. And we asked to do that so that way we could request the way we did. And if for some reason we did not have the funding available in one of our funding sources in years to come, I would think the sheriff's office would revert to what we were providing to the detainees beforehand.
So I think what you're saying is that if we drop the mental health in the future when we couldn't afford it, would not increase the cost of the regular health care plan?
No, there is standard increases annually for contracts, and so that is within the health care cost, but it wouldn't increase the cost of the health care one because we dropped the mental health. It was indifferent.
Okay, thank you, ma'am.
You're welcome.
I just one quick question as well, Angie, if that's okay. A lot of debate here tonight about the importance of, you know, the staff members in the sheriff's department, particularly the jail administrators. Is having funding for this mental health services, will this help alleviate some stress points in their job? Will it improve conditions in the jail at all? Or does it have the potential to do that? I see some folks back there shaking their heads. So
I would have seen.
That's enough for me. Thank you.
I can tell you that all the above that you just mentioned.
Okay, thank you.
I have a question for Ms. Woolley.
Go ahead.
How can you be so proficient? That's the only question I have.
I try my best.
So, Your Honor, I'm going to circle back to Justice Kendrick for a minute. I think what we'd like to do tonight is, if we have issues with the budget, let's work those out. I mean, you've obviously expressed you have an issue with the mental health part coming out of ARP. I'd kind of like to solve that issue tonight. What I don't want to do is come back. I'd like to leave tonight with instructions for our elected officials to go amend their budgets accordingly so that when we come back, we can vote on the budget and all of us be in agreement. So.
Right.
Yeah. I'm not saying I agree or disagree, but if you have issues with that, which may cause us to stumble when we're trying to approve the budget, I'd like to really address it tonight.
Right. Yeah, I don't intend to make a motion. It's just one of those, I think, if I had a request, it would just be to look at the budget and is there anywhere that could potentially be absorbed within the Sheriff's Department? Like I said, it's a concern because it's a legitimate need. I know it helps our jailers. I know they have a hard, hard, tough job with what they do. But it is a concern, just one of those things looking out. I don't think it's a good practice to get into of using temporary federal money for regular reoccurring expenses because eventually that money will not be there, and at some point we will have to pay that. So I do hope, and I know we can use it for this. My hope is, and I know there's rumors of it, I hope the Fed opens up some money and we can actually use it for infrastructure, and boom, we've got a new jail, Unit 1, and it takes care of the biggest need in the county. Infrastructure-wise. So that's a hope for me. So that's why just looking at some of these requests as they come through, I'm always trying to be cautious of how we spend this money and make sure that if we do spend it, it's for a one-time expense that, you know, it's not something regular reoccurring that we have to take a big hit in the budget when we're trying to find a place for it. So we're not out in the dark.
No, and I agree and I can appreciate that. Let me do this another way then. And I haven't talked to Ms. Woolley about this at all, but we have an opportunity to spend ARP money one time for this instead of budget. So if I thought I could take $130,000 out of my budget and spend it with ARP money for a legitimate reason that actually ARP money is supposed to be spent for, and I had that $130,000 for that 1 year, I might go buy me a couple extra radios, maybe a few bulletproof vests, maybe get some extra training with the $130,000 I had left over in my county general money. You see what I'm saying is, I get that it's one-time money, but spend the ARP where you can and save our regular money for our regular expenses.
I can understand that. And radios, which we did do right. That, I mean, you know, for the reserves, that's not a reoccurring expense. So right. Like I said, that's just a concern. It's a concern. Not a best budget practice, I think, is what I would say.
I can appreciate that.
So could I ask a question?
Yes, sir.
One, Ms. Woolley, is there in your projected revenue unappropriated money to cover this cost if you had to pull it from your budget? Question for the counselor. Counselor, if we appropriated this out of the sheriff's budget and then later they had a boiler go out, could we then tap the American Rescue Plan for what this cost was and then use that unappropriated money?
Legally, well, let me just say, can we use the fund, the American Rescue Fund, to pay for it? Yeah, I don't think that's the problem. The problem would be really more with Scott's office and how we retroactively deal with the purchase orders. So it's not a is it still eligible issue, because it's still eligible. But I think this court needs to decide now whether they want to pay for it out of the rescue plan fund or not. And going back would create, I think, a huge headache on the treasurer's office.
Okay, thank you. And that's one of those that I understand that why we're doing this, but I also understand the county's at record level sales tax revenues. We've got more money coming in than we've ever had, so that's why I brought it up. I thought the sheriff might be able to take a look and possibly absorb that within their budget. And like I said, it was just a concern, so throwing it out there.
Other discussion on the budget before you. County funds.
I have one question, Judge.
Yes.
On this election, I guess it's voter registration fund, 1,010.09. The election coordinator position is cut completely. I was wondering, does that move to a different funding source, or did we just lose an election coordinator?
I'll answer as best I can, Justice Allison. Margaret's not here, but my understanding is that the election coordinator position was previously a full-time position, and that's how it was budgeted. It is now a part-time position. There's been a person that's been hired, and she's working as a part-time, which is, I think you'll see in that budget that there's a different line item for part-time salary that's probably likely increased, and that's because this person has been hired. She works 3 days a week, I believe. And so essentially the election commission, in conjunction with the county judge, met and decided that a full-time employee was perhaps maybe not necessary, and they would try this part-time position first.
Okay, thank you, sir.
The bottom line is it's a savings for the county.
Yes.
I don't know about all that.
I didn't know if it's somewhere. I was trying to figure out what.
Judge Baker.
Yes.
I have a question for the counselor. Mr. Murphy, when the motion was put on the floor for Ordinance 21-45 and we were having discussion, when we go to vote, are we actually passing this budget tonight?
I'd love to, but I'm not the one you addressed it to. I'd like to leave here tonight with Pat, but
yes.
All right, that sounds good. I just wanted to make sure. Thank you, sir.
Now, You don't have to pass it tonight.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
Yes, the budget is on the floor. It has been brought. It needs 9 votes to pass tonight.
Thank you, sir.
I guess just on that note, personally, I would like to see the amended numbers and changes in the budget and have time to review it personally before we vote on it.
The discussion.
So we vote.
Motion's on the floor. Approval of that number, 45, 2145.
Other discussion.
Call, somebody call for a vote?
Yes.
Yes. I heard somebody call for a vote.
Yes. Justice Shock made a motion.
All right.
Yeah, I'll make a motion. Judge, I have a question first. All right. I'm sorry. If we go ahead and approve it. Can I ask a question to counselor? Or
Judge Baker, even though it's been called, it still has to be seconded and approved.
Okay. Just my question was, if we go ahead and pass it tonight, there's nothing that prevents us if something pops out that we can't readdress this next week, right?
You can always address it next week, and I think you'll find we'll address it every month for the next 12 months.
It's a very astute.
In the glove we wear, you may change the glove.
Quarter of the night right there.
I mean, I guess just to jump in here, this is the foundational document for county government on how we operate throughout the entire year. I guess I don't see what the rush to vote on it tonight is. Personally, let's incorporate the changes. Let's look at them. Let's make sure it looks right, review it, and vote at the normal meeting.
Question has been called for. Second. Madam Secretary. Madam Secretary, would you call the vote?
Allison?
Yes.
Boyer?
Yes.
Brown?
Yes.
Higgins?
Yes.
Kendrick?
Present.
Knight?
Yes.
Lahowski?
Yes.
Moss?
Yes.
Pearson?
Yes.
Pickett?
Yes.
Shock?
Yes.
And Strang?
No. 2022 budget has passed. Thank you.
Make a motion, we adjourn.
Second. Wait a minute.
Oh, do you have nothing?
I want to thank everybody. The county's had a good year. And I think the people in charge of the departments and all have had a pretty good grip on what's going on. And that helped the county have a good year. And I'm proud of that. But, there is one announcement I don't believe. Listen, folks. American Red Cross needs some funds. They need some donations. Folks, they came here in 2019 and stayed with us for a month and kept a center alive. The county didn't. They benefited but didn't have any money. These folks in eastern Arkansas and Kentucky, I took it on the chin, and the first one there is the American Red Cross. So this time of the year, on your heart, be a pretty good place to assist some folks. Had two calls today. Did I have a point of contact, somebody to send some money? Both of them, I told American Red Cross, designated for Arkansas, Kentucky, or whatever. If you want to designate or just give it to them for the job they do. But I can tell you, they've been around a long time, and they live basically on financial support from the public and other organizations. I have no other announcements.
Judge Baker, I would like to say thank you to Judge Weaver for bringing the coffee and the cookies tonight. Appreciate that.
I did not see Judge Weaver here. I had on my notebook. I didn't see here. I want to go thank you because you wasn't here, but thank you. We don't appreciate folks enough when they do a little something special.
She's using Jackie's cover anthem. Thank you.
Hearing nothing else, this meeting is adjourned. 4:08, God bless all of you. Hope everybody has a good Christmas. A real good trip. We all
will.
We got a record. It's going to clean up.
pee in my pants.
You got everything you need?
I do.